Chapter 16. The two Vanessas looked astonished.
What do you mean?
One of them asked.
Whichever one of you is the fake,
Joe said evenly,
we'll have to shoot to get past me. You and your people took too much from me tonight. You're going to pay for that.
Joe took a step forward, and everything happened at once. The second Vanessa suddenly broke free from her mirror image.
Joe, look out!
She shouted. Joe ducked behind a pillar just as the first Vanessa leveled her gun at him and fired. But her shot went wild. Before she could fire again, a gun butt slammed into the back of her head. She fell to the floor in a crumpled heap.
I couldn't shoot her,
Vanessa Bender said nervously.
What you did worked just fine,
Joe told her, coming out from behind the pillar. He took her in his arms and held her tightly.
You don't know how glad I am to see you.
His voice was thick with emotion.
I thought...
I know,
Vanessa said softly.
You two want some privacy?
Frank Hardy teased. He was standing a few feet behind them, one arm around Mrs. Hardy, the other around Callie. The gray man stood behind them.
Later, definitely,
Joe gave Vanessa a squeeze, then ran to hug his mother.
You picked the strangest places to shop for candy.
Mrs. Hardy ruffled his hair.
I love you, too,
she said softly. The police arrived 10 minutes after the battle, and network agents alerted by the gray man on a portable phone belonging to the assassins arrived shortly after the police. The authorities swarmed all over, taking away the two remaining terrorists and searching for weapons and other assassin paraphernalia. The police called the fire marshal to tell him that Vanessa Bender had been found alive and well. Vanessa was relieved to learn that the marshal had not yet located her mother in Europe. Mrs. Hardy and a proud Lorna Friel were giving their statements, while Frank and Callie stood to one side watching.
Miss me?
Callie asked.
More than that,
Frank replied.
I thought I lost you forever. I should have realized they'd stick a double on that table. It just goes to show how upset and tired I was. Matt, the mechanic at the airport, gave me your scarf. It seems I lost it during the fight in the hangar. Yet you, she was gagged with it on the death table.
Frank winced as he remembered the scene at the Lazarus Clinic. He told her the gruesome tale of the clone. Callie shook her head and shuddered.
They killed her. How could they do that?
The problem is, they find it very easy to do.
Frank's face grew stern.
That's why we have to keep trying to stop them.
Callie nodded in agreement.
Callie, when I thought you had died because of me...
Frank's voice failed.
Remember what I said at the airport? It came with the territory when I started dating you.
She held him close.
And I haven't regretted it. Not one day.
Maybe now you two need some privacy,
Joe Hardy said. Frank simply grinned.
The gray man wants to talk to us.
Joe shot an apologetic glance at Callie.
Alone?
I'll go keep Vanessa company,
she said.
But don't make us wait too long.
Callie looked around at all the law officers.
There are a few good-looking.
Don't even think about it,
Frank said. He couldn't help smiling as he and Joe walked across the basement to join the gray man.
I'd never come so close to losing so much,
he told his younger brother.
Makes me appreciate everything all the more.
I know what you mean.
So, said the gray man. He stood by a rusted file cabinet, puffing casually on a cigarette, blowing the smoke up to the ceiling.
Have you two figured it all out yet?
I've got part of it,
Joe offered.
The assassins wanted Frank and me to lose all credibility for the Brubaker case,
the gray man nodded.
But why did they especially pick on me?
It's pretty awful,
Frank said.
But I think they took advantage of the fact that you already had one girlfriend die. They thought they could push you over the edge by making you think Vanessa was dead and then bringing Iola back into your life.
That's right,
the gray man said.
And they knew more about you and your late girlfriend than you can imagine.
The gray man pulled a file folder from one of the open drawers.
This contains a detailed account of the day Iola died, right down to the dialogue between you two. Some of these other folders contain photos and information on your friends and family. There's even a picture of your house from last Halloween.
Frank stared at the photo, noting the pottery jack-o'-lanterns in the windows.
They really did their homework!
He could barely mask the anger in his voice. Joe put a hand on Frank's shoulder.
I know how you feel,
he said quietly.
They really got inside my head, too. But what about the hired actress for Mom?
Joe asked. She was part of their contingency plans. They had people on tap to play everybody in your family.
The government man showed them another file folder with actors' resumes and photos of people who looked like Fenton Hardy, Aunt Gertrude, and even some of their other friends.
When your mother came home unexpectedly, they put their plan right into gear.
The gray man produced some candles from a box on a nearby table.
Drugging you, as well as the psychological warfare, was, you'll have to admit, very effective. They didn't have to kill you, only wear you down. The idea was to make you act crazy.
But why go through all this?
Joe asked.
Why didn't they just kill us?
Discrediting us would be better than killing us,
Frank said.
Our depositions would be used in the trial anyway, if we had been killed. But imagine what a sharp defense attorney could do to us on the stand. We'd have to admit we'd apparently lied to the police in two states, inventing murders.
Frank glanced at Joe.
One of us might even be up on a murder charge.
While not of sound mind,
Joe said grimly.
I'd have been useless as a witness.
You're right,
the gray man said.
If our star witness could be easily dismissed as loonies, the whole case would have gone up in smoke.
The gray man took a last drag on his cigarette, then put it out.
Devious, don't you think?
And they grabbed you because you helped compile the information and spearheaded the whole operation,
Joe said.
They grabbed me soon after Frank called. My clone would have gone on the stand, made a valiant effort to save the case, but lose. Then he'd be in my job while I was 6 feet under.
Well, it's all over now,
Joe sighed.
Although, I don't know how we're going to explain all this to Vanessa, Callie, and Mom.
You won't.
The gray man signaled for one of his agents to come over and stand by the files.
No one, including the boys in blue, gets the whole story,
he told the man. Then he led the Hardys toward the staircase.
We'll handle the police and the media,
he said.
By this afternoon, most of this will not have happened.
But people were kidnapped,
Joe blurted out.
By a third-rate criminal gang.
The gray man had a smirk on his face.
They were going to ask for a ransom, but their plans fell apart.
Joe shook his head, torn between disbelief and admiration.
You guys can certainly rewrite history.
Sometimes it's necessary,
the gray man said.
And what are you going to tell the police in Maine?
Frank asked.
That the Frank Hardy who contacted them was a fake.
The gray man signaled another one of his agents, who led Mrs. Hardy, Vanessa, and Callie over to them.
I suggest you all get some rest. It's been a trying night.
With that, he dismissed the group and went to join the local police.
Where to?
Frank asked once the group was outside. A bright orange and yellow sun was rising in the east. Birds soared overhead, and a gentle breeze rustled the autumn leaves.
It's 6:17,
Joe said, looking at his watch.
Anybody know a good place where hungry people could get a stack of pancakes and a gallon of orange juice?
Starving is more the word,
Callie said, and Vanessa agreed.
How about breakfast at our house?
Mrs. Hardy offered.
Pancakes? Ham? The works!
Great, Mom!
A gleam appeared in Joe Hardy's eyes.
I know we missed Halloween, but I'm a good boy and eat all my food.
Joe grinned from ear to ear.
May I have some candy?
Laughing, they all piled into the boys' van. Frank smiled. Next stop, home. End of chapter, end of book.
We'll be right back.
Thank you for listening to the Hardy Boys Case Files, number 80, Dead of Night. And this Halloween, be sure to be on the lookout for the Hardy Boys Case Files, number 80, Dead of Night, the movie. Visit HardyBoysTheMovie.com on October 31st.